Thanks for being with us on The Takeaway today. I'm Indira Lakshmanan in this week. Todd Zwillick returns on Monday. We've been talking a lot this week about monuments to American historical figures and how they play into our current politics. But did you know, beginning in 1864, every state was asked to donate two statues of prominent residents to the U.S. Capitol building as part of the National Statuary Hall collection? States have updated them over the years, and there are 100 statues in the collection, including folks you'd expect, like Sam Adams and Dwight Eisenhower, inventors including Thomas Edison, and Confederates like Jefferson Davis. In some ways, it's a diverse group. In others, not so much. We'll get to that in a second. We asked you for ideas on who you'd like to see represented from your state.
My name is Sharon. I'm calling from Canton, Ohio. And for our statues, I would nominate Toni Morrison. Of all the famous Ohioans, she brings prose and poetry that's a magnificent gift.
This is Amber from Worcester, Massachusetts, and I think that Massachusetts should honor the one and only Helen Keller because she changed the world for people with and without disabilities, demonstrating that nothing can hold you back. Even though she was born in Alabama, I think that Massachusetts deserves to put up her statue because she came of age here and continues to inspire people of the Commonwealth each and every day.
It turns out that Helen Keller is already in there, but if Toni Morrison were to be honored, she'd be the only African-American in Statuary Hall. That's because of all the statues donated by the 50 states, there are zero African-Americans. None. There are only four statues of African-Americans in the entire Capitol building, in fact. A bust of Martin Luther King Jr. was added in 1986, and statues of Rosa Parks, Frederick Douglass, and Sojourner Truth were added during the Obama presidency. Vivian Green Freed is a professor at Vanderbilt University and the author of Art and Empire, The Politics of Ethnicity in the United States Capitol, 1815 to 1865.
So there are 100 statues. 12 of them depict Confederate leaders, including Jefferson Davis and Robert E. Lee. Virginia, for example, had proposed Robert E. Lee in 1903. They deliberately waited enough time after the Civil War to make this proposal, knowing that if it were closer to the Civil War, there would be objections. Like the Confederate monuments located throughout the South, they were all in, as well as those in the U.S. Capitol building, they're all intended to put the African Americans in their place at a moment where the Jim Crow laws are being instated and you have the Harlem Renaissance, for example, in the 1920s and the Great Migration. The Great Migration of African Americans from the South to the North occurs at this very period we're talking about.
So tell me, Vivian, among the 50 states, did any of them actually choose an African American as one of their two figures from their state's history to represent in the Capitol?
No, they did not. And that takes on significance given the history of the sculpture and paintings located in and on the U.S. Capitol building. I'll talk about the statue on top of the dome of the U.S. Capitol building that everybody knows, but few people really know what it represents. So the statue is called Statue of Freedom. And when the statue was proposed in 1850 by the architect of the U.S. Capitol extension, he had suggested that the statue represent liberty. When the person in charge of the Capitol extension saw this design, and his name is Jefferson Davis, who at the time was the Secretary of War, and he was in charge of the decoration of the U.S. Capitol building. He rejected this image, and he said its history, that is, the history of the personification of liberty, renders it inappropriate to a people who were born free and would not be enslaved. And that is really a problematic statement to be said by somebody who owned slaves on a plantation and, of course, would be the future president of the Confederacy. He didn't allow any works of art in the U.S. Capitol building to show slaves. And that has taken until the beginning of the 21st century. I consider that to be a hallmark, an indication of race relations in this country that are really problematic.
So, Vivian, tell me a little bit about the history of Native Americans fighting to remove some of the offensive iconography in their view from the U.S. Capitol.
So there are two statues that were located on the east facade of the U.S. Capitol building on the staircase. They were huge. It showed a gigantic white pioneer who is restraining a male Mohawk who is holding a scalp and is getting ready to scalp and kill a white woman and her child who represent civilization, Christianity, and democracy. So what happens is already in 1938, some of the Native peoples were writing letters to protest against these images. It's not anything that was ever discussed in Congress. You're never going to find any kind of resolution that was passed. So in 1953, all the statues on the east facade of the U.S. Capitol building were taken down because they were made of sandstone and they were not surviving the weather conditions, and they were replaced by copies. But those two statues were never replaced. They are in storage outdoors someplace in Virginia, and they have fallen apart.
So this is an example of history actually being erased. And this brings me back to the question of you. I understand your personal history is that you're the daughter of a Holocaust survivor. So tell me, have you studied how has Germany dealt with its own history, and how should we in the United States be dealing with the ugliest parts of our history?
Well, I lived in Berlin for a year not too long ago. And what I was struck by is that in Germany and in Berlin in particular, you have so many memorials and monuments that record the Holocaust, so that there are these cobblestones in front of apartment buildings throughout Germany. You have so many remembrances. So I'm able to literally find up the name of one of my ancestors, and I know exactly when she was taken to which concentration camp, when she was moved to another concentration camp, when she was killed in Theresienstadt. That is a history that needs to be remembered so that it never happens again. And I'd say that that's what we need to be doing in this country. We have some things in our past that are not perfect. We are an amazing country. My mother was rescued by the Quakers. If it weren't for the Quakers and my uncle, Henry Reese, who did everything in his power to get my mother out, and I'm sorry, I'm getting very emotional now, I would not be alive. This is a history that needs to be acknowledged and remembered. My mother was able to come to this country. I'm able to be a professor at Vanderbilt University because my mother was able to come to this country. And so the parts of our history that are not ideal, slavery, the ways in which Native peoples have been treated, rather than erasing it, I think we have to talk about it. I think we have to remember it. I think it needs to be a point of discussion.
Vivian Green-Fried, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Indira, it was my pleasure.
Vivian Green-Fried is a professor at Vanderbilt University and author of Art and Empire, The Politics of Ethnicity in the United States Capitol. We've been hearing from lots of you about who you think should have a statue in the U.S. Capitol building. A listener from Kissimmee, Florida: I wish Puerto Rico could participate too. I would nominate Julia de Burgos for her poetry and feminism. She was ahead of her time and continues to inspire around the world today.
Trish from Huntington, West Virginia. Catherine Johnson, to represent and inspire women and men to push ahead and set precedents where it's needed.
Give us your take at 877-8-MY-TAKE or send us a tweet at The Takeaway.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.